I asked Darren if he'd seen his doctor about this, and he said, yeah. I said, well, what did your doctor say? And Darren's doctor told him, we're going to watch and wait until your blood sugar is more elevated, and then we're going to treat you with medication for diabetes. This attitude is absurd and is harmful in the face of what we know about the problems that occur even in the absence of full-blown diabetes. And it completely ignores subtler clues from symptoms and signs of disease, which may highlight underlying metabolic imbalances, especially when further testing is done. These imbalances may be remedied by the appropriate treatment. Treatment that's not focused on some disease, but instead works to balance the system by removing those things that alter or damage our functioning and providing those things that enhance, optimize, or normalize our function. That's functional medicine. This attitude is also why diabetes is so woefully and inadequately diagnosed and treated, leaving millions of Americans suffering needlessly from chronic symptoms. The importance of early diagnosis. The truth is that the road to diabetes can start in childhood. In fact, we are now seeing an epidemic of type 2 diabetes in children as young as 8 years old. Pediatric diabetes specialists, who for years took care of only type 1 diabetes and autoimmune disease, now have their offices overwhelmed with type 2 diabetes, a lifestyle and environmental disease. By the time you're diagnosed with diabetes, you have problems with insulin and blood sugar that could have been detected 20 to 30 years earlier. That is, if you knew where to look, which most doctors are not trained to do. Insulin resistance and the diabetes associated with it are often accompanied by increasing belly fat, fatigue after meals, sugar cravings, blood sugar swings or hypoglycemia, high triglycerides, low HDL or good cholesterol, high blood pressure, low sex drive, problems with clotting, and increased inflammation. These clues can often be picked up long before you ever get diabetes and may help you prevent diabetes entirely. If you have a family history of obesity, especially around the belly, or diabetes, or early heart disease, or even dementia or cancer, you are even more prone to this problem. Fortunately, many people with prediabetes never get diabetes, but unfortunately, they are at severe risk of disease and death just the same. The fact is that both the symptoms and the long-term complications of diabetes and insulin resistance overlap. The classic diabetic symptoms of excessive thirst and urination and weight loss are specific to diabetes, but all the other warning signs, blood sugar and insulin imbalances, for example, and others are there for many years before those telltale symptoms crop up. We could eliminate many of the long-term complications of diabetes if we simply address these warning signs and diagnose the problem much earlier in the process. All the phenomena we see in diabetes are the result of the same thing: imbalances in the 7 key systems in your body that form the web or the network of your biology. Understanding this web is the basis of functional medicine, a method of treatment grounded in a whole new scientific field called systems biology, which seeks to understand how the systems in the body are interconnected rather than simply discrete organs and body parts that have no relationship to one another. The perspective of medical specialization, organizing medicine by organs and diseases, by geography or location and symptoms, is flawed and has placed modern medicine at a crisis point. Our way of thinking about disease is outdated, and it doesn't take advantage of the latest scientific advances. Functional medicine, on the other hand, implements the best of current science and systems thinking. The 7 steps to ultra wellness. Over the last 20 years, an emerging body of scientific knowledge that forms the foundation of the functional medicine approach has pointed to a number of factors that are the true drivers of diabetes and, in fact, all chronic disease. But they are not the things we usually think of as causing these conditions. There are 7 fundamental systems in your body that can get out of balance. To heal from diabetes or overcome any of the other chronic illnesses you suffer from, you must rebalance these 7 key systems. In part 2, we will explore the imbalances in these systems and how to correct them. The first step is to boost your nutrition. The second step is to regulate your hormones. The third step is to reduce inflammation. The fourth step is to improve your digestion. The fifth step is to maximize detoxification. The sixth step is to enhance energy metabolism. And the seventh step is to soothe your mind. In parts 3 and 4, I'm going to provide you with a comprehensive program for rebalancing these systems. And along with my plan to take back our health in part 5, this personalized approach will allow you to leverage the latest science so you can heal from this modern plague. Part 2, the 7 steps to treating diabetes. Between the health care we have now and the health care we could have lies not just a gap, but a chasm. From the Committee on Quality of Healthcare in America, the Institute of Medicine, 2001. We can't solve problems by using the same kind of thinking we used when we created them. Albert Einstein. Chapter 7, Understanding the 7 Steps. I often joke that I'm a holistic doctor because I take care of people with a whole list of problems. Typically, when someone has multiple complaints and they ask their doctor about them, they get told, well, we can only deal with one problem at this visit. Or they get referred out to a half a dozen different specialists, one for the skin rash, one for the joint pain, one for the reflux, one for the migraines, and so on. No one asks, how is everything connected? It's no wonder that the average Medicare patient has 6 doctors and is on 5 medications. The trick is to see the connections. When the 7 systems are out of balance, illness occurs, whether it's weight gain or diabetes or heart disease or cancer or anything else that may be on your whole list. The key is to not treat each thing separately, but to look for and treat the fundamental underlying causes. In prediabetes, diabetes, and all other diseases, imbalances, symptoms, and illness occur because of a very few things that cause disease. The real causes of disease. In addition to single gene genetic disorders, there are just 5 causes of all disease. Poor diet, chronic stress, microbes, toxins, and allergens, all of which wash over our DNA, causing changes in our gene expression and turning on or off different genes and messages that affect our metabolism. The 5 causes interact with the 7 key systems in the body. When those systems are out of balance, symptoms occur and doctors diagnose diseases. And there are just a few ingredients that are needed to make a healthy human. Real, whole, fresh food, nutrients like vitamins and minerals, light, water, air, sleep, movement, rhythm, love, connection, meaning, and purpose. When you take out the bad stuff and you put in the good stuff, the body knows what to do and creates health. Disease goes away as a side effect of creating health. The approach functional medicine takes to disease is not a new treatment or modality or specialty or technique. It's not integrative or alternative medicine. It's the future of medicine, applying new discoveries in biology about how we really get sick and how we can create health. It's about treating your whole system, not the symptom. It applies the most advanced thinking in a practical clinical method in the service of our health. It's a way of thinking that focuses on the question why or the cause, not just what or the name of the disease. The names of your diseases become irrelevant when we understand the causes. In fact, 1 factor can cause dozens of diseases. Take celiac disease, an allergic and an autoimmune reaction to gluten. It can show up as rheumatoid arthritis or diabetes or heart disease or cancer or inflammatory bowel disease or depression or autism or osteoporosis and many, many other things. On the other hand, 1 disease, such as dementia, can have many causes, including B12 deficiency, viruses, insulin resistance, and heavy metal toxicity. Imagine that you go to the doctor and you say you have no energy. You feel sad, helpless, hopeless, and you can't sleep, and you have no interest in food or sex. Your doctor will probably say, oh, I know what's wrong with you. You're depressed. You need an antidepressant. But depression is just a label we give to that collection of symptoms. It tells you nothing about what caused those symptoms. The symptoms of depression can result from an emotional trauma, an autoimmune reaction to gluten that causes low thyroid function, vitamin B12 deficiency because you're taking an acid blocker that prevents its absorption, vitamin D deficiency because you live in Seattle, inflammation in your gut from taking too many antibiotics that kill the basic normal flora, a high body burden of mercury because you love fish, an omega-3 fat deficiency because you hate fish, or insulin resistance because you eat too much sugar. The diagnosis and the treatment of each of those causes is very different. The same is true for obesity and diabetes and any of the thousands of symptoms labeled as diseases in our medical textbooks. We now have a system of classifying disease based on location or geography in your body, your heart, your joints, your stomach, and by symptoms. There are over 12,000 diagnoses now. And in the new classification system, we will have 155,000 different diseases. This is nonsense. Functional medicine recognizes that almost all disease arises out of imbalances in the few key systems of your body, the seven steps. And these occur when you have too much of something, toxins, microbes, allergens, poor diet or stress, or not enough of something, real whole food, nutrients like vitamins and minerals, light, water, air, sleep, movement, rhythm, love, connection, meaning, and purpose. Seeing the connections and teasing apart the real causes of disease is how I helped Evelyn. Evelyn, a 48-year-old woman, came all the way across the country from northern Canada to get help because after seeing 12 doctors over 10 years and being diagnosed with 29 different diseases, she didn't get any answers or any better. She was over 237 pounds and had a body mass index of 37. 35 is considered morbidly obese. Evelyn had a whole list of problems that we found when we looked under the hood. Rather than organizing them by disease or medical specialty, by location or symptoms, we organized them based on understanding the body as one whole system. All her symptoms were connected, but no one connected the dots. And she had a big list: irritable bowel, reflux, hypertension, hypoglycemia, metabolic syndrome, obesity, hypothyroidism, PCOS, environmental allergies, postnasal drip, latex allergy, yeast infections, osteoarthritis, migraines, fibromyalgia, chronic pain, chronic fatigue syndrome, headaches, migraines, weight fluctuations, bulimia, anorexia, binge eating disorder, kidney stones, gout, ADD, asthma, chronic sinusitis, sleep apnea, psoriasis, depression, and infertility. What she really had were some basic imbalances caused by her diet. She was eating too much gluten, an allergen. She had too much yeast and toxic bacteria in her gut, microbes. And she had several nutritional deficiencies. So she had too much of stuff and not enough of stuff. This triggered systemic inflammation, leading to weight gain and prediabetes, as well as an autoimmune disease of her thyroid, which had not been diagnosed. So I reorganized her symptoms by the seven key systems. And then we figured out what was causing the imbalances. So she had hormonal, metabolic, and neurotransmitter imbalances, and these were insulin resistance and hypoglycemia and hypertension and frequent weight fluctuations. The hormonal imbalances also included bulimia and anorexia, binge eating, PCOS or polycystic ovarian syndrome, estrogen toxicity with uterine fibroids and heavy menstrual bleeding, PMS. She had depression, anxiety, migraines, gout, ADD, sleep apnea, and infertility, all hormonal dysfunction. And then she had a whole group of inflammatory and immune imbalances, food allergies, chronic sinusitis, postnasal drip, environmental allergies, asthma, rosacea, psoriasis, vaginal yeast infections, mold exposure, edema or swelling of her legs, and osteoarthritis. These were all inflammatory problems. And she had digestive imbalances, irritable bowel and bloating after meals, and bacterial overgrowth and yeast overgrowth in her intestines, and reflux. And she had detoxification imbalances, fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue, and chemical sensitivities and edema or swelling, high levels of toxins and mercury in her body, mercury fillings, and kidney stones. And she also had energy imbalances with chronic pain, and she had some very dramatic nutritional deficiencies like vitamin D, magnesium, and zinc. I started by treating the five systems within which she was experiencing imbalance, not all of her 29 separate diseases. We began simply by cleaning up her diet. She started a whole foods, low glycemic load, anti-inflammatory diet without gluten or dairy. We cleared out the bad bugs in her gut with antibiotics and treated the yeast infection with antifungals. I gave her some digestive enzymes and probiotics to help normalize her gut function. Then I helped her hormones get back in balance. I suspected she had a low-functioning thyroid, even though her doctors had told her her tests were normal. I learned in medical school to treat the patient and not the test. So I gave her a low dose of Armour Thyroid, a type of natural hormone replacement therapy. Her symptoms of premenstrual syndrome, heavy bleeding, and fibroids told me she had too much estrogen and not enough progesterone. So I gave her magnesium and B6 and hormone-balancing herbs. And I also gave her support for improving her blood sugar and insulin with PGX, a super fiber, a multivitamin and extra chromium, biotin and lipoic acid. And I prescribed a high dose of vitamin D, 5,000 units a day, because she lived in northern Canada. 6 weeks later, I got her lab results back. They confirmed what I had thought. She had very high antibodies to gluten, which triggered inflammation and an autoimmune reaction in her body, including against her thyroid gland. She had a high uric acid, which causes gout and results from too much sugar and high fructose corn syrup. This is a classic sign of insulin resistance and prediabetes. Her blood test showed very high insulin and blood sugar 2 hours after a sugar drink, and her sex hormones were out of balance, and she had a very low vitamin D of 16, normal is over 45. At our 6 week phone call, she told me she was doing great. So I went down the list of symptoms expecting some ongoing issues. But after struggling for 10 years, she had no more symptoms. None. No more fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue syndrome, no more brain fog, no more depression, no more sinus problems or congestion, no more irritable bowel or reflux, no more migraines, no more PMS or heavy bleeding or feeling tired and cold all the time. Even her psoriasis and rosacea had gone away. And as a nice side effect, she lost 21 pounds without even trying. The same things that make you sick make you fat. So when you address the underlying causes of disease, the weight loss is automatic. Not all of my patients have a list as long as Evelyn's, but the approach is the same. Focus on identifying and treating the underlying causes of disease and helping the body systems. And then the disease and weight loss takes care of itself. Discovering your imbalances. Personalizing the blood sugar solution. In each chapter in part 2, I provide quizzes to help you identify which systems in your body are out of balance. Is it your hormones, your gut, your immune system? Are you toxic? Which system is causing you the most problems? These quizzes are based on 3 factors. 1, decades of clinical experience and testing of more than 10,000 patients. 2, a review of thousands of scientific papers. And 3, collaboration with many of the physicians at the forefront of functional medicine and science. The quizzes will help you identify where you are out of balance and guide you to restoring balance in each of those systems. Everyone who has diabetes will go on the basic foundational blood sugar solution diet and lifestyle program as outlined in part 4. However, depending on the answers you give in the quizzes in part 2, you may need to add a few extra self-care steps to personalize the program. You're going to do this in week 6. If you need to follow the self-care steps, just follow the recommended personalization of your plan in part 4. For the majority of you, the blood sugar solution and a little self-care will solve your problems. You will be able to accomplish these steps on your own or with others through the online support program and guidelines for creating social support that's detailed in part 4. You can learn more about our online community and access a free set of tools to help you through the program, including an online version of all the quizzes in part 2 at bloodsugarsolution.com. The quizzes can also be found in the companion PDF. A few of you may score in the medical care range on the quizzes. In this case, you should complete the Blood Sugar Solution Basic and Self-Care Program starting in week 6. Then retake the quizzes after another 6 weeks on the self-care plan. If your score still indicates medical care, or you don't see the improvement you'd like, it may mean you have deeper problems that require more diagnostic testing and medical treatment. In this case, I've provided a detailed online companion guide called How to Work with Your Doctor to Get What You Need. This guide, which you'll find at bloodsugarsolution.com, outlines information on how to get the special laboratory tests needed to confirm or investigate suspected imbalances, as well as guidelines for correcting these imbalances. I've also provided resources for you to find a doctor who's aware of or experienced in functional medicine and can be your partner at bloodsugarsolution.com. I strongly encourage you to visit the website now and take advantage of all the information and tools and community support available as you start on your journey to healing. Now let's explore the 7 key biological systems at the root of diabesity, starting with nutrition. Chapter 8, Step 1, Boost Your Nutrition. Our current American diet is a problem both for what it contains, too much sugar, processed fats, salts, additives, hormones, pesticides, and genetically altered inflammatory proteins, and for what it doesn't contain. Omega-3 fats, fiber, magnesium, zinc, B and D vitamins, antioxidants, and more. Except for most omega-3 fats, all these come from a plant-based diet. Plants contain nearly all the vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, phytonutrients, and fiber in our diet. These are essential for keeping our biology in balance, and in particular, for regulating our metabolism and our weight. The paradox today is that the most obese children and adults are also the most nutritionally deficient. Rickets and scurvy are now being seen in obese children. Most of us don't recognize that the more calories you eat, the more nutrients you need. Vitamins and minerals are the grease that lubricate the wheels of our metabolism and help all the chemical reactions in our bodies run properly, including those involved in the regulation of sugar and fat burning. Our current diet is energy dense, meaning too many calories, but nutrient poor, meaning not enough vitamins and minerals. All these empty calories we consume cause our metabolism to break down and disease and obesity to flourish. The leading cause of diabesity is our SAD, or standard American diet. Whole, real, fresh food that you cook yourself is the most potent medicine you can use to prevent, treat, and reverse diabetes. Overfed and undernourished, a patient's story. Sarah, a 19-year-old girl, walked into my office with a whole list of complaints, including obesity, fatigue, and muscle pain. She had been sick and fat since she was 8 years old. While many factors contributed to her poor health, her poor quality diet, which was high in sugar, junk food, fast foods full of trans fats, and high fructose corn syrup, led to nutritional deficiencies that compounded her health and weight problems. The only colorful food she ate was Cheetos. The sugar and caffeine in sodas depleted her magnesium levels. And because she had hated fish her whole life, she had severe omega-3 fat deficiency. She was so tired and sick, she never went outside. Sitting on the couch and watching television led to a serious vitamin D deficiency. Slowly, we got her off junk food and sugar and caffeine, and we corrected her nutritional deficiencies with both diet and supplements of magnesium, fish oil, and vitamin D. Over the course of 6 months, her muscle pain went away, she got her energy back, and she lost 54 pounds. Our nutrient-poor and calorie-rich diet is the main factor driving the epidemic of diabetes. It has led to a nation of overfed but undernourished people. In this chapter, we're going to look at some of the major dietary shifts that have led to the diabetes epidemic. Then I will explain the exciting new science of nutrigenomics, which promises to help us cure the problem by seeing food not just as calories or energy to burn, but as information that provides the instructions to our genes to gain or lose weight, to get sick or get healthy. But before we get into that, I want you to take the following quizzes found in the companion PDF or online. These will help you determine where your nutritional imbalances lie. So take the magnesium quiz, the vitamin D quiz, and the omega-3 fat quiz. Take all the quizzes in part two before you start the program, and again after the 6 weeks are over to measure the before and after change in your health. You may need extra individualized support based on your scores, and I'm going to explain this in week six of the plan found in chapter 24. Now, there are several important nutritional deficiencies that can lead to diabetes. Now that you have identified three of the most common nutritional deficiencies of our modern life, magnesium, vitamin D, and omega-3 fats, and those particularly important to metabolism and blood sugar control, let's look at how we got into this terrible mess of being overfed and undernourished. Nutritional change number one, sugar in all of its forms. Our diet has changed dramatically within the last 100 years. It has changed even more dramatically in the last 30 to 50 years. The biggest change has been our increased sugar consumption. Our Paleolithic ancestors ate 22 teaspoons of sugar per year. At the beginning of the 1800s, the average person consumed about 10 pounds a year. And now, the average American eats 150 to 180 pounds of sugar per year. That's more than half a pound of sugar per person per day. All sugar is harmful when consumed in those pharmacologic doses. When one 20-ounce high-fructose corn syrup sweetened soda, sports drink, or tea has 17 teaspoons of sugar, and the average teenager often consumes more than 20 ounces a day, we are conducting a largely uncontrolled drug experiment on the human species. In the last 30 years, the sugar calories we consume from high-fructose corn syrup have increased from 0% to 66%, mostly in the form of liquid calories from soft drinks and other sweetened beverages. And we know that liquid calories in the form of sugar pile on the pounds much more than solid calories do. Let me explain the four reasons why we need to eliminate 100% of high fructose corn syrup from our diet. One, high fructose corn syrup and cane sugar are not biochemically identical or processed the same way by the body. High fructose corn syrup is an industrial food product and far from natural. It is extracted from corn stalks through a chemical process and is a biochemically novel compound that's sweeter and cheaper than cane sugar or table sugar, sucrose. There is no chemical bond between the glucose and the fructose that make up the high fructose corn syrup, so no digestion is required and it's more rapidly absorbed into your bloodstream. Fructose goes right to the liver and triggers lipogenesis, which is the production of fats like triglycerides and cholesterol. This leads to a major cause of liver damage called fatty liver. And in this country, it affects 70 to 90 million people. The rapidly absorbed glucose triggers big spikes in insulin. Both these features of high fructose corn syrup lead to increased metabolic disturbances that drive increases in appetite, in weight gain, diabetes, heart disease, cancer, dementia, and more. Research done at Children's Hospital in Oakland found that every molecule of free fructose from high fructose corn syrup requires more energy to be absorbed by the gut and soaks up two phosphorus molecules from ATP, our body's energy source. This depletes the ATP required to maintain the integrity of our intestinal lining. The little tight junctions or the connections between the intestinal cells in the gut cement each intestinal cell together, preventing food and bacteria from leaking across the intestinal membrane and triggering an immune reaction and body-wide inflammation. High doses of fructose have been proven to literally punch holes in the intestinal lining, allowing nasty byproducts of toxic gut bacteria and partially digested food proteins to enter your bloodstream and trigger inflammation. Naturally occurring fructose in fruit is part of a complex web of nutrients and fiber that does not exhibit the same biological effects as the high fructose found in corn sugar. Cane sugar and the industrially produced, euphemistically named corn sugar are not biochemically or physiologically the same, despite millions of dollars of television commercials by the corn industry claiming otherwise. Number two, high fructose corn syrup contains contaminants such as mercury that are not regulated or measured by the FDA. An FDA researcher asked corn producers to ship a barrel of high fructose corn syrup to her so she could test for contaminants. Her repeated requests were denied until she claimed she represented a newly created soft drink company. She was then promptly shipped a big vat of high fructose corn syrup, which was used in a study that showed high fructose corn syrup contains toxic levels of mercury because of chloralkali products used in its manufacturing. Poisoned sugar is certainly not natural. When high fructose corn syrup is run through a chemical analyzer or a chromatograph, strange biochemical peaks show up that are not glucose or fructose. What are they? Who knows? But it calls into question the purity of this processed form of super sugar. The exact nature, effects, and toxicity of these compounds have not been fully explained. But shouldn't we be protected from the presence of untested chemical compounds in our food supply, especially when the contaminated food product provides up to 15 to 20% of the average American's daily calorie intake? Number three, independent medical and nutrition experts do not support the use of high fructose corn syrup in our diet, despite the assertions of the corn industry. The corn industry's happy-looking websites, cornsugar.com and sweetsurprise.com, bolster their position that cane sugar and corn sugar are the same by quoting, or should I say, misquoting experts. Barry Popkin, a professor in the Department of Nutrition at the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, has published widely on the dangers of sugar-sweetened drinks and their contribution to the obesity epidemic. In a review of high fructose corn syrup in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition, he explains the mechanism by which free fructose may contribute to obesity. He states that the digestion, absorption, and metabolism of fructose differ from that of glucose. Hepatic or liver metabolism of fructose favors de novo lipogenesis, meaning it makes fat in your liver. In addition, unlike glucose, fructose does not stimulate insulin secretion or enhance leptin production. Because insulin and leptin act as key afferent signals in the regulation of food intake and body weight to control appetite, this suggests that dietary fructose may contribute to increased energy intake and weight gain. Furthermore, calorically sweetened beverages may enhance caloric overconsumption. He concludes by saying the increase in consumption of high fructose corn syrup has a temporal relationship to the epidemic of obesity, and the overconsumption of high fructose corn syrup in calorically sweetened beverages may play a role in the epidemic of obesity. The corn industry then takes his comments out of context to support its position that all sugar is the same. True, large doses of sugar of any kind are harmful, and in the end, it just might be the pharmacologic doses of any type of sugar that kill you, but the biochemistry and the effects on absorption, appetite, and metabolism are different, and Dr. Popkin knows that. 4. High fructose corn syrup is almost always a marker of poor quality, nutrient-poor, disease-creating industrial food products or food-like substances. The last and most important reason to avoid products that contain high fructose corn syrup is that they are a marker of poor quality food full of empty calories and artificial ingredients. If you find high fructose corn syrup, or the new term, corn sugar, on the label, you can be sure it is not real, whole, fresh food full of fiber, vitamins, minerals, phytonutrients, and antioxidants. Stay away if you want to stay healthy. We must reduce our overall consumption of sugar, but with this one simple dietary change, cutting out high fructose corn syrup, you can radically reduce your health risks and improve your overall health. Nutritional change number two, our low-fiber diet. Along with our increased sugar consumption, our fiber consumption has decreased tremendously. Our Paleolithic ancestors ate 50 to 100 grams of fiber per day. We now eat fewer than 15 grams per day. Fiber is important because it slows the absorption of sugar into your bloodstream from your gut. It makes us feel full, and it reduces cholesterol. The fiber in our diet comes predominantly from plant foods, such as fruits and vegetables, including nuts, seeds, whole grains, and beans. Those who eat a refined, processed diet out of boxes, packages, and cans typically get less fiber than those who eat real, whole, fresh food. The lack of fiber in our diet has enormous implications for our health. It contributes to heart disease, diabetes, obesity, cancers, and many other chronic diseases. In fact, studies show that the addition of high levels of fiber to the diet is as effective as diabetes medication in lowering blood sugar without any of the side effects. Nutritional change number three, an epidemic of nutritional deficiencies. In America, we eat more than we ever have, yet we are nutritionally depleted. As a result, we now see the epidemic of diabetes and many other chronic diseases. A number of nutrients are particularly important in the prevention and treatment of diabetes, including vitamin D, chromium, magnesium, zinc, biotin, omega-3 fats, and antioxidants such as alpha-lipoic acid. These are necessary for proper control and balance of insulin and blood sugar. When these are deficient, our biochemical machinery slows down and can grind to a halt. We become more insulin resistant, our blood sugar swings out of balance, and we gain weight. The nutritional solution, nutrigenomics. We generally think of food as a way to get energy, a means to feed our bodies the fuel they need to function. However, new science has shown that food literally speaks to our genes. The information your body receives from the foods you eat turns your genes on and off. This provides your body with instructions on how to control your metabolism from moment to moment and day to day every time you take a bite of food. This is the science of nutrigenomics, or how food talks to your genes. It is the nutritional approach that underlies the blood sugar solution, which is like an upgrade for your biological software. In fact, Dr. Dean Ornish showed that after just 3 months on an intensive lifestyle program, including a whole foods plant-based diet, over 500 genes that regulate cancer were beneficially affected, either turning off the cancer-causing genes or turning on the cancer-protective genes. There is no medication that can do that. Recently, scientists found the genetic material of plants in the blood of humans. Think about it for a minute. Plant genes are telling your genes what to do. This is revolutionary. To illustrate how powerful this approach is, let me share a remarkable study that shows how quickly and powerfully the quality of food you eat affects your genes, independent of calories, carbs, protein, fat, or fiber. This study focused on people with prediabetes. They were divided into two groups. Each group was fed exactly the same amount of calories, with exactly equivalent amounts of protein, fat, carbohydrates, and fiber for 12 weeks. The only difference between the groups was this. One group was fed whole kernel rye. The other group was fed oats, wheat, and potatoes as its source of carbohydrates. After 12 weeks, the researchers performed a subcutaneous fat biopsy, looked at gene expression, and they gave the participants in the study a glucose challenge test to assess how their blood sugar and insulin were affected by these dietary changes. The results were groundbreaking. Remarkably, people in the group that ate rye had smarter, smaller fat cells and were more insulin sensitive. Diabetes-reversing genes were switched on because of the information contained in rye, which is a phytonutrient called lignans, independent of calories or grams of carbs eaten. In other words, it didn't matter how many calories or grams of carbs this group ate. It was the kind of carbs that was important. The quality of our food matters as much as the quantity we eat. Even more amazing was how much their genes had changed in such a short time. Dozens of genes that had made the participants fat and diabetic were turned off, and dozens of genes that would help them become healthy and thin were turned on. 71 genes that promoted insulin resistance and cell death were turned off in the rye group. The foods they ate beneficially affected their genes, turning off the very genes that predisposed them to diabetes. On the other hand, 62 genes that promote diabetes were turned on in the group that ate oat, wheats, and potatoes. And that led to an increase in stress molecules, increased inflammation, and increased oxidative stress or free radicals. All this, in turn, causes diabetes. Remember, these two groups ate exactly the same number of calories and exactly the same percentage of fat, protein, carbohydrate, and fiber. The only difference was in the type of carbohydrates they consumed. This one study, among many others that point to the same conclusions, illustrates that food is not just calories. Food is information. If you want to turn off the genes that lead to diabetes and turn on the genes that lead to health, the key is the quality and the type of food you eat, not necessarily the number of calories you consume or the ratio of protein to fat to carbohydrate in your diet. You need to put your genes on a diet. As David Ludwig, one of the leading obesity researchers at Harvard Medical School, said, molecular pathways involved in hormone action, like insulin resistance, have been the target of a multi-billion-dollar pharmaceutical research effort. However, many of these pathways may normally be under dietary regulation. The results of the present study on nutrigenomics emphasize the age-old wisdom to use food as medicine, in this case, for the targeted prevention and treatment of obesity, diabetes, and heart disease. Shifting from a nutrient-poor diet to a nutrient-rich diet that is abundant in plant foods, such as fruits, vegetables, nuts, seeds, beans, and whole grains, improves the expression of hundreds of genes that control insulin function and obesity. An optimal diet to prevent and treat diabetes also includes healthy fats such as olive oil, coconut oil, nuts, avocados, and omega-3 fats, along with modest amounts of lean animal protein. This is commonly known as a Mediterranean diet. It's a diet of whole, real, fresh food that's been prepared in a kitchen, not in a factory. This way of eating has been shown to prevent and even reverse diabetes. It has broad-ranging benefits on our health and beneficially affects our entire physiology, reducing inflammation, boosting detoxification, balancing our hormones, and providing powerful antioxidant protection, all things that fix the underlying causes of disease. What you put on your fork is the most powerful medicine you can take to correct the root causes of chronic disease and diabetes. What you put on your fork is more powerful than what you will ever find at the bottom of your pill bottle. In addition to these dietary changes, you also need a full complement of vitamins and minerals. And you may need to individually correct specific deficiencies, including deficiencies in chromium, biotin, vitamin D, magnesium, zinc, alpha-lipoic acid, and omega-3 fats. We need these additional nutrients because our soils, farming, food processing, and food distribution systems result in nutrient-depleted foods. Sir Albert Howard, who started the organic agriculture movement, said in his landmark book, The Soil and Health, that we must treat the whole problem of health in soil, plant, animal, and man as one great subject. Even with a perfect diet, the combination of our depleted soils, the storage and transportation of our food across large distances, genetic alterations of traditional heirloom species, the increased stress and nutritional demands resulting from a toxic environment make it impossible for us to get the vitamins and minerals we need solely from the foods we eat. The evidence shows that we cannot get away from the need for nutritional supplements. In Part 4, you will learn precisely what you need to eat and what supplements you need to take to reverse diabetes. For now, just keep in mind that our common ideas about food being no more than a source of energy are very limited. Nutrigenomics is the future of medicine. It will help us both understand and successfully treat diabetes. Chapter 9, Step 2, Regulate Your Hormones. This audiobook is mostly focused on the hormone insulin, but balancing all of your hormones, including sex hormones, adrenal or stress hormones, and thyroid hormones, is important if you want to heal. They are all interconnected, and they interact with one another like a big musical symphony. When this symphony is playing out of tune, problems arise. To overcome diabetes, you must identify and treat thyroid imbalances that control your metabolism, overactive stress hormones that worsen insulin resistance and blood sugar, and insulin imbalance and its harmful effects on your sex hormones. Let's look at how each of these major hormonal imbalances can be contributing factors in diabetes. Thyroid hormone, controlling your metabolism. Your thyroid controls your metabolism. If it's working slowly, your metabolism slows and your risk of diabetes goes up. Thyroid disease affects 1 in 5 women and 1 in 10 men. Yet 50% of people with thyroid disease are undiagnosed. Undiagnosed thyroid disease worsens insulin resistance, and in turn, insulin resistance worsens thyroid function. Many who are diagnosed are treated inadequately with medications such as Synthroid. Hidden thyroid disease and diabetes, a patient story. Renee, a graduate student, was a serious and determined 25-year-old woman who did everything she could to take care of herself. She ate a clean whole foods diet, rich in fruits and vegetables, nuts, seeds and beans and whole grains, and she exercised an hour every day with a trainer. She got enough sleep and she balanced work and play. But she had one problem. She was 20 pounds overweight and nothing she did seemed to matter. Digging into her story, I found some clues to the mysterious weight gain and insulin problems. Her periods were never regular. She had dry skin. She was constipated. Her hair was coarse, and she was cold all the time. Despite seeing the best doctors in Los Angeles, no one had looked deeply into the obvious explanation for all those symptoms: low thyroid function. Of course, they did the standard thyroid test, or TSH, but because the result of 3.5 was, quote, within normal range, they didn't look any further. I always give the full spectrum of thyroid function tests, including TSH, and normal now is considered less than 3.5 by the American College of Endocrinology. However, most labs' reference ranges have not been changed to reflect the new guidelines. I also checked the thyroid hormone levels, T3 and T4, as well as thyroid antibodies to see if there was an autoimmune reaction against the thyroid. Most physicians only check TSH, missing many people with subtler thyroid problems. Renee had a very low T3 and high thyroid antibodies. So even though her TSH was, quote, normal, I treated her with a natural thyroid hormone containing T4 and T3. And all of her symptoms went away, her periods became regular, and she lost 20 pounds. Do you suffer from a sluggish, low-functioning thyroid? Take the thyroid quiz online at bloodsugarsolution.com or in the attached PDF and find out. Remember, take this quiz before you start the program and after the 6 weeks are over to measure the before and after change in your health. You may need extra individualized support or natural thyroid replacement based on your scores. I'll explain this more in week 6 of the plan. The thyroid gland is very sensitive to the effects of environmental toxins, to infections, and nutritional deficiencies like iodine, selenium, and zinc, as well as stress. 1 in 5 women and 1 in 10 men have low thyroid function, and more than half don't know it. The thyroid quiz and the companion PDF will help you self-diagnose hidden thyroid problems. Stress hormones, the dangers of chronic stress. Stress hormones also play a critical role in diabetes. Chronic stress increases the production of cortisol, which is the main stress hormone. Chronically elevated cortisol causes increased blood sugar and cholesterol and depression and even dementia and promotes the accumulation of belly fat that we so commonly see in patients with insulin resistance or diabetes. Too much cortisol also causes muscle loss, which interferes with thyroid and growth hormones, and negatively impacts sleep, all of which promote weight gain. In fact, sleep deprivation increases your appetite and your sugar cravings. In a study of healthy young men deprived of just 2 hours of sleep, their blood levels of ghrelin, the hunger hormone, increased, and PYY, which is the brake on appetite, decreased. This made them crave and eat more refined carbohydrates and sugar. Getting enough quality sleep is important in the treatment of diabetes and can prevent weight gain, diabetes, and heart disease. But even more important is decreasing our stress levels. Stress is defined as a real or imagined threat to our body or our ego. We will always have intermittent acute stressors that can't be avoided. But it's not the acute stress that comes and goes that causes problems with your health. What has such a dramatic impact on diabetes, as well as on so many other chronic illnesses, is the unremitting stress that's created in part by your attitude toward that stress. Do you believe that things will work out in the end? Do you see the glasses half empty or half full? Do you think of the world as a safe place or a dangerous place? The effects of stress are shaped by our thoughts, attitudes, and beliefs. We can change what we think and believe. We can reduce the impact of daily stress on our lives as a result. You shouldn't believe every stupid thought you have. In Chapter 14, Step 7, or Soothe Your Mind, we further explore the links between stress and diabetes. You can also follow the additional personalization steps for calming the mind in Part 4, as well as use my audio CD program, Ultra Calm, at bloodsugarsolution.com/ultracom. This will help you relieve chronic stress with a few simple tools. Too much insulin has a negative effect on your sex hormones. If you're a man, it makes you more like a woman. And if you're a woman, it makes you more like a man. Insulin resistance leads to hair growth on the face and body and the loss of hair on the head for women. Many women also get acne and irregular menstrual cycles. It makes women grow a mustache or a beard, go bald, and get pimples. Insulin resistance can also be an unrecognized cause of polycystic ovarian syndrome, which causes infertility in women. This is a nutritional problem caused by our toxic diet and environment. Infertility, a patient story. Lisa desperately wanted children. After failing treatment with the best infertility specialist in New Jersey and New York, she came to see me. Her doctors told her she had polycystic ovarian syndrome, or PCOS, which is really a nutritional and metabolic problem that affects your hormones. It's primarily caused by pre-diabetes. Symptoms include irregular or heavy menstrual periods, acne, facial hair, loss of scalp hair, and increased belly fat. After pills and shots and hormone cocktails that pushed and prodded her ovaries to work properly, after multiple in vitro fertilization attempts at $15,000 a pop, there was still no baby for Lisa. But the problem wasn't her ovaries, it was her diet. 3 months after she transformed her diet from processed to whole, real, fresh foods and started exercising regularly and taking nutritional supplements that support normal blood sugar metabolism, Lisa got pregnant naturally. A year later, I got a cute little baby picture with a little note attached that said, "Thanks, Dr. Hyman, for getting me pregnant." I wasn't sure how to explain that to my wife. In fact, using the principles in this book, I've gotten many women pregnant, and my office wall is full of baby pictures. Dr. Walter Willett of Harvard wrote about his research on infertility caused by prediabetes in The Fertility Diet. Researchers studied fertility in 19,000 women from the Harvard Nurses' Health Study. They found that a majority of infertility, which affects 1 in 7 couples, might be treated effectively through diet, lifestyle, and supplements. Fixing nutritional deficiencies by taking a multivitamin and eating whole foods, low glycemic, nutrient-rich, plant-based foods can have an enormous impact on fertility. In addition, Dr. David Ludwig found that a low glycemic, low diet prevented preterm labor in overweight women. So eating according to the plan in this book can help you not only get pregnant, but stay pregnant. Sugar makes you less of a man, a patient's story. Steve, a 54-year-old author, is another patient who could not seem to lose weight. Despite working aggressively with a trainer 3 to 5 days a week, doing strength training and aerobics, he could not get his appetite under control, he couldn't build muscle or lose any of the considerable belly fat that hung around his 285-pound body. His sex drive was low and his erections were weak. We found that he had sky-high insulin levels, but rock-bottom testosterone levels. By improving his diet and applying some topical bioidentical testosterone gel, he was able to build muscle, lose weight, control his appetite, and resume having sex with his beautiful wife. In men, insulin resistance drives down testosterone levels. Sex drive and sexual function are significantly impaired as a result. Low testosterone also leads to other problems, such as decreased muscle mass and more fat deposition in the belly, as seen in all those big guts in men over 40 years old. Over time, diabetic men become more like women because insulin and excess body fat result in higher estrogen levels, leading to soft skin, increased breast size, loss of hair on the legs, arms, and chest, and loss of muscle mass, low sex drive, and trouble getting erections. Are your sex hormones out of balance? Take the Sex Hormone Imbalance Quiz online at bloodsugarsolution.com or in the companion PDF to find out. Remember to take this quiz before you start the program, and again after the 6 weeks are over to measure the before and after change in your health. Chapter 10, Step 3, Reduce Inflammation. Anything that causes inflammation will in turn cause insulin resistance. And anything that causes insulin resistance will cause inflammation. This dangerous spiral is at the root of so many of our 21st century chronic maladies. Inflammation is something we're all familiar with, from a sore throat, an allergic reaction with hives, or a cut that gets infected and red, swollen, hot, and tender. But the inflammation that drives obesity and chronic disease is invisible, and it doesn't hurt. It's a hidden, smoldering fire created by your immune system as it tries to fight off bad food, sugar, processed foods, and inflammatory fats, stress, toxins, food allergens, and overgrowth of bad bugs in your gut and even low-grade infections. These triggers all cause an increase in the inflammatory molecules of your immune system called cytokines. They are important in fighting off infection and cancer and helping your body distinguish between friend and foe. But when inflammatory cytokines get out of control, chronic diseases of every stripe result. Inflammation, insulin resistance, and chronic disease, the missing link. One of the most significant medical discoveries of the 21st century is that inflammation is the common thread connecting not just the obvious autoimmune and allergic diseases, but most chronic disease, including heart disease, obesity, diabetes, cancer, dementia, and even depression. In fact, out-of-control inflammation causes insulin resistance, which, as we know, is the main factor in all these diseases, apart from autoimmunity and allergy. Insulin resistance then creates even more inflammation, and the whole biological house burns down. Anything that triggers cytokines will make your cells more insulin resistant, which will in turn make your pancreas pump out more insulin in order to get the glucose inside your cells to burn for energy. But since your cells are resistant to the insulin, you require even more of it. Insulin resistance is a state of starving in the midst of plenty. As we said earlier, insulin is a fat storage hormone that makes you eat more and gain more weight. We now know that fat cells, or adipocytes, also produce their own highly inflammatory cytokines called adipocytokines, or adipokines for short. These adipokines, like IL-1, IL-6, tumor necrosis factor alpha, all worsen insulin resistance, obesity, and diabetes, and they inflame many other chronic diseases. So what triggers this inflammation? A number of recent studies have pointed to a few basic causes that we can identify and treat directly. Sugar, refined carbohydrates, trans fats, and too many inflammatory omega-6 fats from processed plant oils like soybean or corn oil, artificial sweeteners, hidden food allergies and sensitivities, chronic infections, imbalances in gut bacteria, environmental toxins, stress, and a sedentary lifestyle all promote inflammation. Of course, which of these factors is the source of inflammation for you is a key question. And the answer is different for everyone. You must locate all the sources of inflammation in your life and eliminate them if you want to overcome diabetes. The blood sugar solution will help you do that. Diabetes, depression, and inflammation. A patient's story. Depression and obesity are two problems that often go together. That was true for JP, an 18-year-old who came to see me with fatigue, depression, anxiety, and a 27-pound weight gain. When he first saw me, he weighed 201 pounds. He had severe prediabetes and didn't even know it. We found many clues in his story and on his tests that all pointed to inflammation driving his obesity and depression. He had canker sores, which can be from gluten problems. He had cracking at the corners of his mouth, which can be from B vitamin deficiencies. He had acne on his face, chest, back, and shoulders, which can come from dairy or sugar intake and gut inflammation. And he had seasonal allergies. He was cold and tired, which indicate thyroid problems, especially in the morning. He had trouble falling asleep and had been on Paxil for 4 years to treat his anxiety and depression. And he had other telltale symptoms of inflammation and immune dysfunction, including itchy ears, which can indicate allergy or fungus or yeast, and white spots on his nails, which may indicate a zinc deficiency. And he had horrible eating habits. No breakfast, fast food for lunch and dinner, diet and regular sodas throughout the day. He hated seafood, so he probably had an omega-3 fat deficiency. He did at least exercise for 25 minutes a day on the treadmill one or two times a week with a trainer, and he slept 10 hours a night. His lab tests showed omega-3 fat, vitamin D, B6, B12 deficiencies, all associated with prediabetes or depression. He had autoimmune thyroid antibodies with otherwise normal thyroid tests. He had high cholesterol, low HDL, high triglycerides, all of which are classic for prediabetes. He had a normal blood sugar, but a sky-high insulin level after a sugar drink, which has been linked to acne, depression, weight gain, and carbohydrate cravings. We also found